Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks for very much. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's good to be with you. Good to continue to be with you. I mean, you just tuned in. We're glad to have you, too. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Rob Jellis is here, too, because it wouldn't be nearly as much fun without him. Rob's an old friend of ours, and he and I go way back. We didn't even know we went way back, but we did, because we were both Xeroids at one time. That means we worked for Xerox, and I was a little bit, I was in about a half a generation ahead of him, but he's a good friend. He's one of our top salesmanship experts. He's the author of an outstanding book called Customer Centered Selling. He's the author of a new book coming out real soon. We're going to get him to tell us about in just a little bit. But he's our good friend. Rob Jellis, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. And I had no idea that you achieved superhero status, but
it's
a pleasure to talk to you.
That happened last July.
Congratulations. I'm
I got the cape in the mail and everything. Yeah.
Well, I'm very impressed.
I got the tights, too, Rob. I know you'd be excited about that.
I think we're going too deep into that one, but okay.
Is this TMI? I'll send you a photo. That'll get you excited. Hey, Rob, it's good to have you here. Happy holidays. And what's going on in the world of saleswomen?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I just wrote an article, and I'm leaning back looking at it. And it's for a sales trainer, it's a little strange to write an article called Shoot the Sales Trainer. But
what's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, it's so I don't want anybody shooting me. I just think that every now and then, sales trainers like Rob Jellis need to belly up to the bar and look at a group. And just like we're selling a product, and just like the people who are listening to this interview who sell a product, sometimes you have to look at a client and say, this isn't a good product to sell you. And when I say shoot the sales trainer, I think one of the problems in my industry is we're so obsessed on training people that we overtrain them. And you have to understand, if you're committed to a process, I don't think you can ever be overtrained on that process. What worries me is we keep changing the process. It's like a golf pro. We teach you a swing, and then next month we turn you over to another golf pro.
Are you talking about designed obsolescence? It sounds a little bit like you're talking about designed obsolescence.
Well, yeah. The fact of the matter is that I'm going to give every sales trainer their due and say, let's pretend that we're all very talented. I'm just wondering what would happen if I sent you, Jim, to a golf pro this month, and he's talented, and sent you to a different one next month, and a different one the month after that,
right,
and a different one, and these golf pros
I would give up the game after all that.
Well, you'd be all twisted in knots because...
Exactly. Yeah.
Each one's got their own niche. Each one's going to put a little bit of a turn on that swing. And after 12 months, what is it that you'd look like?
You know, I actually started playing again recently, and the golf, I mean. And Rob, there's a guy who helps me with my swing sometimes. He's long-suffering. Let me get that right out front. But what I like about him is he doesn't try to teach me the swing of the month. He actually looks at my swing and tries to make me as effective as I can be with my swing. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Do you see the connection? Because a good golf pro, just like a good sales trainer, doesn't say, here, let me take that club and show you. First, he watches you swing, and he says, okay, what does Jim bring to the table today?
The first thing he did, Rob, was say, oh, my God. And then after that, he said what you said.
Well, we go a little kinder than that. But what a good pro does in either area is say, let's see what you have. Now, I've got some really good repeatable and predictable techniques, but your arms are long, your legs are short. I'm going to fit and mold the process to fit your body. And as a sales trainer, we have to do that too. Certainly, there's good techniques, but some people bring different things to the table, and we have to mold that swing to the person that we're working with. That's why, for instance, any sales trainer that works, in my opinion, who puts more than 20 people in a class is already missing the boat.
Right.
How do I watch 7 or 8, 9 different role plays at the same time.
Right.
Because if we're not role playing, we're not going to learn anything.
That I'm glad to hear you say that. You and I, of course, you and I came from the same wellspring in terms of sales training, and I agree with you 100%. But you know, Rob, you'd be surprised how many salespeople have never ever been in a role play, and I think that's a big mistake. That's like using the golf analogy. That's like telling somebody to go play golf and not giving them a putter.
Exactly. I'm going to give you a lecture on golf, but don't touch the club. Let me talk to you for 3 hours. Now go out and play. I'll see you later.
You can't have the club that makes you know that helps you score the most points. Rob, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 39 after, or almost 20 till. Either way you want to look at it. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rob Jolliss is our guest, and he's our good friend. Stay with us. Nobody give me trouble, cause they know I got it me. I'm bad. I'm nationwide. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rob Jolliss, the author of Customer-Centered Selling. And folks, we have a little bit of an announcement to make today, and I'm so excited about this for Rob. He's worked so hard, and I'm going to take a little bit of credit, too, because I've had to listen to some of this stuff that he's been going through for the last few months as he searches to find not just a publisher, but the right publisher for his new book. Rob, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I think I could have gone with some other publishers. The problem is I had to get something off my chest. I've written a couple of business books, and I think I've got that down. But I've been on the road 22 years traveling, and I think a lot of people who are listening know what I'm talking about when I say I'm a road warrior. And I've just seen a lot of things happen, and some good, I've seen some bad, and I've seen some mistakes that I've made and others have made and things that I've benefited from. And I needed to get that down in a book and almost spiritually. And I've written a book called Confessions of a Road Warrior, Business Lessons Learned on the Road. And that's very personal to me. And Josie Bass will be publishing that book. It'll be out October 2005.
And you'll be launching it on this show.
Oh, I'll be happy to launch it on this show.
Yeah, we'll be happy to do that, too. So congratulations to you on that, folks. And Rob and folks, the thing is that, you know, it's a big deal to get a publisher, but it's a bigger deal to find just the right one. And I'm proud of you for holding out till you found the right fit. And again, I congratulate you. But what we're going to do, even before the book comes out, we're going to start telling folks about it because I know I've seen a little bit of the book. And I want my audience to know about it. We'll start leaking it to them between now and October.
That's terrific. Thank you. And for anybody who's listening here, and you know, we're talking about sales here. Jim was very kind when he said a couple of months. I went through 2.5 years of the word no, and some people were, including my wife, looking at me saying, "When are you just going to leave this dream alone?" But you know, I'm not just a sales trainer, I'm a salesman, which means I have to practice what I preach, and I'm just not going to take no, and I hope anybody listening to this show, particularly when this book comes out, not only gets some words of wisdom and inspiration, but also kind of leans back and says, okay, I've only had a year of no, well, that's nothing compared to what I'm holding in my
hand.
And
you know, we don't, the other thing is, Rob, is that the very fact that you're back on the show is a testament to the fact that you got your book published, because we don't let quitters back on the show. So that's something that we need to remember. But you know, the other thing, folks, that I did that kind of got him off of his can a little bit, I threatened to publish it myself, and that really got him going.
Scared the daylights out of me.
That's right, scared the heck out of me.
That campaign hard.
He said, "I got to get this thing going." Anyway, congratulations again, and let's get back into our discussion. What are some other things?
Yeah, let's keep shooting that sales trainer and make sure guys like me are doing our job right. Second thing I wanted to talk about.
Let me stop you for a second. People listening who have hired salespeople before get what you're saying about the salesmanship method of the month, right?
That's what we call it. I call it the flavor of the month, yeah.
Yeah, they get that. So what I want you to do for a moment is to tell us how we can avoid that. How can we know that we need our salespeople to have sales training, and we've got this, you know, somebody sent us an email, or somebody's gave us a call, or somebody dropped by to offer us something, or we saw an advertisement, or we heard somebody else talking about a program that their employees got. How do we find out whether the product of the month is the one for us or not?
Right. You got two questions there. Let's go, how do we pick it? And then most importantly, how do we keep it from being the flavor of the month? Let's go to pick it first. To me, the most critical thing that anybody can do in analyzing what they're looking at is it has to be repeatable, predictable, and measurable, because when you can measure something, you can fix it. So right off the bat, don't confuse sales training with motivational speaking, inspirational speaking. Poems are nice. Stories are good. I do keynotes. I work with 9 different speakers bureaus. And if you want me for an hour, I'll entertain you during lunch. And it's a good business, but I'm not being a sales trainer. You're not here to hear an idea or two. What you want to do is learn a process so that you can implement that process. So when I say don't shoot the sales trainer, stick with it. If it's measurable, if it's repeatable and predictable, that means in 6 months when I see you again, keep working with that same swing that you put in here and take it deeper and show me how to hit a ball on a downhill lie, or if it's in a rut or it's raining or I'm behind a tree. And those are all sales tactics. Those are all different moves to add to the process. See, we don't change the swing because it's in a divot. We adjust the swing, but that same rhythm is still there. So right off the bat, question number one, Jim, is just make sure that it's a process and not entertainment, and that's critical.
You know, Rob, one of the things that I'm so glad to hear you say that, because, you know, I have the I've been to programs, and I know programs where I call it the Chinese food situation or syndrome, where, you know, while you're sitting there and while you're listening, you're enjoying it, you're having a good time, and you're hearing things that make a lot of sense, but for some reason, the way that it's being delivered leaves you hungry in about 2 hours.
Yeah,
you look back and you say, "Wow, I remember I had a good time, but what was it he said? What was it she said? I don't remember that." And so what you got to do, and I know this is what you do, and this is what you were talking about, and not only have you got to give them food that will stick to the ribs, sales training food that will stick to the ribs, you got to put handles on that so that in an hour or two later, when they think about it, they can still pick it up.
Yeah. Sometimes guys like me have to turn work down. Let me give you a real fast
hold on. Hold on to that thought. Yeah. We're gonna come right back to that, folks, right after these messages. It's Tintail. Rob Jollis is our guest. He's the author of Customer Centered Selling. Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. Welcome back. It's 7-0. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Rob Jollis is our guest. He's our good friend. He's the author of a number of books, including Customer Centered Selling. Rob, give us your website, please.
That's an easy one, www.jolles.com.
All right. Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Oh, you'll just find a little information about my company and me, and I think it's almost an electronic brochure, but that beats mass mailing or bothering you on your emails.
But you got some articles and stuff there too,
sure.
Don't you? You got some
some
tips and everything there too, don't you?
Yeah, some of the things we're actually talking about here, the philosophies, and really not necessarily picking Jollis Associates to do your training, but you asked a great question before we went to break, which was, how do you pick it? And, you know, Wilson Learning understands it, Carnegie understands it, Xerox understands it, Huffwaite understands it. These are all process companies. They're good companies. And frankly, for a guy like me, I'm always hoping, if you're not working with me, work with a good one. So in a year from now, if I do come around and you need something else, you'll have had a good experience and you'll want to talk to me. So there's very good ones that do it.
Rob, what about this? What about calling a customer, a previous customer or an existing customer of that system of somebody who does business with you or anybody else, and say, okay, you know, did your people, you know, were they still, did they still feel like, you know, the next day or the next week, did they feel like that they, that you know, what they learned was sticking with them?
Yeah, that's a great question. That was the second half that I wanted to get to. So now we've picked a company. So now what? You know, I just worked with a company called Ivy Funds this week in Kansas City, and these guys were actually very attuned to the golf analogy and said, but you know what? We're not going to see clients until January. The year's kind of up, and so we can't play. You just showed us a swing that we rehearsed, but we can't take it to the course. What do we do? And the answer to that is, well, you know, there's web-based simulators that I believe in. I have one on my site where we can practice, literally take a practice round. I put out a booklet that follows up what I teach called a mental agility booklet, which just allows people to go through exercises in their own room or living room before they actually meet with that client so they can rehearse. I bump into people who went through PSS, and I'll bet some of the audience is nodding right now. That product came out in the 70s with Xerox. Professional selling skills. And they come up to me with their torn and tattered laminated cards they got from that program. And you know what that says to me? You not only got it 25 years ago, you're still using it, and that is a testimony to the difference between what a process is and what motivational speaking is. So the answer to your question is, A, make sure we get a process in there, and B, give yourself as many opportunities to hone and rehearse so in 6 months or a year when you bring that company back in, you can look them in the eye and smile and say, we made a cultural change here. Now, don't reteach us what you taught us. Take us deeper. Take us to another level. Put some more tactics around it. You are our golf pro, and we're going to use you for the next 5 years at minimum. That, to me, is the minimum relationship time. But we're not using you to pump our people up so that we can do it again with someone else in 3 months.
Would you agree, and I think you will, Rob, that if a sales trainer accepts an assignment to train your people, not just to speak to them, but to train them, and doesn't do role plays, that it's probably a deal you should turn down?
Totally turn it down. And I tell you what, it took me, I've been in this 22 years, it took me up until 2 years ago to realize not only role plays, Jim, but case studies. And let me fast tell you the difference. A role play makes you go repeatable, predictable, in sequence, which is the only way to learn the swing. But we're not playing, we're learning the swing. Out on that course, in front of that client, it doesn't go in sequence all the time. So what I love about a case study is it says, now you understand the process, now pick through the model and tell me where the client is and what tactics you will and won't use. And for a guy like me who's fallen in love with his process, I think it's very credible to look at an audience and say, I don't want you to use every step every time. It's okay to look me in the eye and say, based on what I see here, I won't need step 4 and 5, but I'm going to need 1, 2, and 3 and 6 and 7. And that's the difference between a role play and a case study, because a case study is real world and it's strategic decision making. And that ultimately is how that model's to be used.
For golfers, that's the same thing as getting your driving range swing to join you on the golf course.
Hey, yeah, Rob, let's go off the tee and let's go play.
Good job today. Thanks again. Congratulations again. And I'm proud that you stuck to your vision about your book. Congratulations on the new publisher. And as you know, Rob, if you think you can or if you think you can't, either way, you're right. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Rob Jolliss, ladies and gentlemen. That's Jolliss.com, 2 L's in the middle there. Check his website out, and he's a good guy. You'll like him. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.